I'm mad at your ass, because if you hadn't walked in there, we would have had some plausible deniability.
Sure.
But now they all think we did this
shit.
That's
fair.
No, we, they all think fair. We did this. And I'm like, how do you not see this? Because I literally step up and I go, the fuck?
She said, what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MFR.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior.
A morally questionable podcast.
Where two unqualified friends.
Two unhinged comedians.
Determine once and for all what is good.
And what is bad. Hello and welcome to Bad Behavior. I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. In each episode of the podcast, a guest shares a morally questionable story from their life. And we decide if they are in the right or the wrong. Well, Sterling, happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month. I can't wait. It really feels like kind of the start of summer. It's June. And we get to obviously celebrate all of our LGBTQIA plus friends. Amazing.
All my homosexual glory. I have it on full display for you today. So if you want to take a moment, look at it and admire it, I'll let it happen.
Gorgeous. It's just spilling out of you. I'm so happy. I'm just so happy I can celebrate my dear friend.
And speaking of celebration, what better way to celebrate Pride Month, specifically next week, than by going to Phones Down, hosted by two straight women allies?
Amazing. Yes. Come celebrate Pride with two allies this month, me and my dear friend Kelsey. It is on Wednesday, June 12th at the Lyric Hyperion in Los Angeles. We have truly a stellar lineup. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, go grab them and we're going to have a blast. Now, Blair, speaking of bad behavior, I wanted to ask you this.
Okay.
I went to a barbecue this past weekend and
Definitely bad behavior. Okay. Was that it?
No, that wasn't it.
Oh.
But I feel like at a barbecue, there's lots of debates that start to happen, which is this. How are you saucing your dog? That sounds so crazy. What condiments are you putting on a hot dog? I have been seeing numerous friends doing raw dog, aka hot dog bun, no condiments. How do you feel about this?
Well, first of all, I love that you're incorporating queer slang into this conversation.
Sure,
particular
pride.
Raw dog and saucing the dog.
Well, that's raw dog's kind of for all sexualities, ner.
Maybe, but for this month, we're going to take ownership of that.
You guys
back.
Take that back.
Okay. Right off the bat, I would never raw dog a hot dog. First of all, I don't know if I would even eat a hot dog.
I love a hot dog.
Really?
But I love, like, there's nothing better than, like, a summer day, a barbecue, and getting a hot dog from that grill. And being with your friends? Oh, that's beautiful. Except when you look at your friend, and you look at their dog, and there's nothing on it.
It would have to be chili, mustard, and onions.
Like like chili soup?
Chili's not soup. Chili is chili. It's its own category.
Well, like, if you're at a barbecue, you'd look at the condiment table and be like, where's the chili?
Yeah.
But can you show me a picture? I don't know what this means, really. Like, I understand.
Chili on a hot dog? I feel like it's not a foreign concept.
Well, it's usually not on the condiment table. Like, chili, like a soup, like some slop.
Okay, I'm sorry. Chili is not a soup, and it's grossing me out when you say that because I think of water with meat chunks in it.
There's soup called chili.
So it kind of looks like that.
Right. That's a big pot of soup.
That's not soup. That's sauce. If anything, it's sauce.
Okay, but you would go to a barbecue and you'd think that vat of hot...
Steaming chili.
Like, if we went to Prospect Park together to have a barbecue, which we've done before, but our barbecue was actually in COVID-19 and it was winter and we were near grills, but we weren't cooking anything.
But we used it for heat.
We used it for heat to warm our hands. Sam's food. Mm-hmm. That's called a winter barbecue.
Yeah, you're just cooking your fingies.
You would think that one of us would have brought that as a condiment.
Well, let me state this. I wouldn't have eaten a hot dog. So
you're really not yes-anding this conversation.
Well, do you want me to yes-and or be honest?
Both.
Okay.
But what would you kind of do if you
then
saw...
Then I would say yes to no. I would say, yes, I do not want a hot dog.
Gosh. Okay, so are you kind of like Hamburger City or you're like...
Like, if I had a choice, it would be hamburger over hot dog.
Okay. No, I mean, there's a time and a place. And
can
I'm...
I tell you this, though? This is going to gross you out.
Well, I don't
so
want that.
So my brother-in-law, who's no longer in our family, ex-brother-in-law, he used to eat hot dogs with just mayonnaise. Gross, right? Yeah. That's why he's no longer in the family.
Like, on top of the dog, or he would kind of put that on the bun.
I think he'd rub the bun down with mayonnaise.
I think that's okay, because ultimately that's kind of like what a lobster roll is. It's not good.
What are you putting on yours?
I kind of do, I would say, the regular ketchup and mustard.
Do you put onions?
If they have them, if they, like, depending if they have a spread, I'll throw some extra stuff on, but I'm a pretty like classic easy girl for that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Well, Blair, to really, you know, kick off this celebratory month, we have...
Of gayness. Okay. What, can I just say, kudos on the first conversation of Pride Month being hot dogs.
Well, you know, because it's Pride Month, you know, which is a time to celebrate love, we've decided to have some of our all-time favorite love experts on the podcast today.
Yes. Preach, mama.
We have comedian and host of the podcast Couples Therapy on our podcast today. Please welcome our guests, Naomi Ek-Paragon and Andy Beckerman. Well, thank you both so much for coming on the podcast today.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
Okay, so Andy, I don't know when you all record your podcast, how in advance, but I wanted to ask, I've been listening, what has been going on with you and your therapist? Are you still together, or have you
parted ways? Yeah, we need
updates. We want to know, and also, do you have any advice of how to kind of break up with a therapist?
Okay, so this might be exclusive for...
Exclusive.
Exclusive. Okay.
Because this just happened, but I finally got the guts up to send an email. So we put out... I've been thinking about breaking up with my therapist for a while now. So basically, like, she's this very cold Freudian, and... We were doing some good work, a lot of stuff like going back to my childhood, dealing with that stuff, EMDR, all this kind of stuff. And then let's say by the time that Biden got rid of the emergency, the COVID emergency thing, and everyone went back to pretending, that's like my like dividing line for the world starting to get worse. So that was last May. And then since then, it's just been a roller coaster into Tartarus, right into the depths of hell. And so it's every week it has just been frustration after frustration. So finally I said,
and I've been saying for ages, honey, she ain't worth the money. I like, there's nothing I hate more than somebody who take your money and don't do shit. There's something about the transaction where I'm like, how dare you?
Right. Well, were you paying a copay or full price?
Oh, no copay. Paying full price, but started on a sliding scale. And then at some point she started her own practice. And she's like, hey, you know, because in Freudian psychotherapy, right, you got to put some real money down. You got to like put something on the line for your mental health. And so she asked me to pay more.
I'm kind of dumb. When you say Freudian psychotherapy, what does that mean? Like, it says one thing, but it's like, oh, you're thinking about your mother. Is that what I mean?
Yes. Well, yes, there's the unconscious. It's unconscionable what's happening. There's the unconscious. There's a lot of stuff. Basically, you go back into your family history, or you're talking about these old kinds of wounds and seeing how they have developed through time. And and with EMDR, you kind of go back and you either do with eye movements or with tapping. You try to like overwrite those. It sounds woo woo when I say it, but it's actual scientific practice. So
when you were in the sessions and like maybe arguing with her, would you be like tapping yourself, and would she be like, why are you doing that?
No, I mean, yes, in rage, like just to like deal with the emotions that I couldn't really. I don't like conflict, and at some point in my sessions, I was just swearing loudly about stuff. I was like, this fucking thing over here, and what the fuck? And I would never say that to a professional. I wouldn't be at like the doctor's office and getting a checkup and being like, yeah, my fucking bones creak.
Yep, my fucking bones creak. Andy, you got to get to answering
normal,
the question.
A normal ailment.
You sent the email, and so where are we today?
Yeah.
I just wanted to set it up so that...
No, we got it. We got it. We're established now.
Talking to two New Yorkers, one named Blair, the other named Sterling. I think they know therapy. Okay, you don't have to really bring them up to speed.
Do you even want to say her name just because you hate her so much? Just really get the message out there.
I don't
send
hate her.
A message.
I don't hate her. I am frustrated by the fact that she is not adapted with the times. Okay, so finally, I put out a call to our listeners, many of whom are therapists. Mm-hmm. How do I break up with her? Overwhelmingly, they said email her. So I finally opened an email. That's the first step. You got to open up the email and you just let it sit open.
Of course.
You don't address it because you don't want it to get sent accidentally. Okay. And you just let it sit open for a couple days while you like build up the energy to be able to write this email. Then I wrote a very nice email. I thanked her because she did help me through the Freudian phase. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, I don't think this is working anymore. And then I sent it. And then she emailed me back and said, like, I hear you. By the way, we should have 3 ending sessions.
Oh, she's got stuff to say to you.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I said 3.
3?
I said 3. What is this? She is ready to burn it down.
Well, maybe she was counting on a certain amount of money.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. She has a summer trip. I think she's a summer trip. And she's like, yeah, maybe 4, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Naomi, are you thinking about like joining him on the session, just like being in the background and be like, you got this, like kind of coaching him through?
I know, right? Just like some slow text in between. Well, I mean, I told him he does not need to do that at all. I was like, 3
just
sessions.
Just ghost her?
I was like, you can do, if you really feel a need to, if you want to tell her about herself. But I don't think that's valuable. I was like, you could do 1, but like who needs 3 sessions? It's like he's had 1 foot out the door for months. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah. It's different, yeah. When it's like, where I'm like, what are we talking about? 3 sessions? What are we talking about?
I feel like when I had a therapist in New York and then I moved to Los Angeles. And so then we ended. But then the last 2 sessions were just her being like, so how are you feeling about us ending? And I was like, I don't need this many sessions. Like, I barely know you. We've actually been in therapy for a few months. Like, then the sessions were just prolonged. And I was like, I think she's thinking this is a bigger deal than it is for us to be parting ways. But it is just kind of location based, ultimately.
Well, Andy, how long have you, I'm going to say it, a relationship with your therapist? How long have you been going?
It isn't a relationship. This is the problem. This is the problem. And not, I don't think it is a problem necessarily, but with a Freudian is she's literally just this mirror. And you say something, she's like, well, how does that make you feel?
Uh-huh.
And then, so while she is helpful in a certain extent, I don't want to ever discount, well, not ever, but I don't want to discount.
Real defensive.
He's trying to support her for some reason. You know me. I'm like, this bitch is useless.
Well, I just want to make sure the truth is out there because on another podcast.
Okay, Mulder.
On another podcast, we badmouthed our wedding planner.
Oh.
And I feel like maybe that has gotten back to her. So I'm like.
You don't have to plan another wedding, do you? Or is there still another one?
Exactly.
On the
books? We do not have to plan another wedding.
We don't have to plan another wedding, but still.
One and done.
So the relationship, it's nothing. It is not nothing, but it's not. There's not. She's like a ghost. She's a ghost on her end.
And now imagine if she's listening right now. She's like, that son of a bitch. He's calling me a ghost after all these years. Oh, we're making it 5 sessions.
Yeah, she's going to up it. She's going to up it.
My kid needs new clothes.
So you both famously host Couples Therapy. The
famously,
podcast.
Yeah.
Famously. And you have a lot of listeners that call in to get advice from you both. And I feel like a lot of times when I listen to other like advice podcasts, do you feel like a vast majority of the people that are like calling in for like relationship issues are just trying to get approval from the two of you to break up with their significant other?
Well, that's interesting. You know, I'm the first person to say blow it up. I mean, you just heard me with Andy, his therapist, I'm like very into people ending things. I'm really into people walking away. I think it is the bravest thing you can do. Like, honestly, you know, when someone's like, it's like, if you are really, especially like if you're out here with no kids and can pay your bills, leave. Okay. And so I feel like if you, and like, I feel like I make that very clear on the pod. So I feel like if people write in, like, they know that that's the answer they're going to get, right? Like, we all know that when it comes to advice, we know that like half of it is in who we ask for the advice.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Famously, Sartre said that.
Famously?
Yeah, I wrote.
The way we famously host? Sartre famously said
that. Jean-Paul?
Jean-Paul.
Jean-Paul, JP.
JP Sartre.
Yeah.
I know.
Famously said that.
That when you go to a certain person, it's like you know what they're going to say.
Essay on Existentialism.
You know Andy was a philosophy professor, so of course he's throwing around Sartre all the time in the house.
Sure, sure, sure. And he's picked up a lot from his therapist, too, so he's kind of throwing that stuff
around.
The
two of them, exactly. Mm-hmm, I was like, I don't think she's the one for you. I kept being like, get a loud Jewish woman. When we were in New York, I was like, why don't you have a loud Jewish woman who will just like tell you to stop being silly?
Instead, I had a quiet Christian woman in New York.
Like you had a quiet Christian woman in New York. Then we get to L.A. and you find this stoic Russian. And I'm just like, what are you doing?
I one time had a therapist So when I first came out, it was a big year. I came out, I got mono, and I had my first real heartbreak.
Oh my gosh.
All three connected?
Well, here's the funny thing. So I'm a preacher's kid. Oh. And my sister, as a joke, was like, do you think this is God's way of telling you not to be gay? And for a second, I was like, maybe. I had a therapist, and I was telling her all about this stuff. And she was like, I know you're going through something, but this is such a delightful story you've woven. And I was crying, and I was like, thank you, but I'm a mess. Now, have you had any therapy sessions like that?
No. Was she like, I have a production company. We would love to option this.
No, this was in Roanoke, Virginia. I was like, I can get you a resume later, but can you just fix my brain?
I mean, it does. That year does have the real makings of a Taylor Swift album. First heartbreak, mono, and that's when you're writing the songs, you know, when you're bedridden, when you're stuck in the house.
Well, actually, the coming out came out first.
So it goes coming out, heartbreak, into mono?
No. Coming out, mono, heartbreak.
Wow.
Oh. And this was also, so we just had an episode the other week. And Blair and I have known each other since 2016, so math. But, so known each other a while, but he just told me that kind of this era, he had a crush on a man at his gym. There were some kind of things going back and forth. Nothing was really developing. This man was like, I'm looking for a roommate. Blair moves out of his parents' house into this man's house that he has a crush on in hopes, and this man actually has another boyfriend.
Blair.
In hopes of something developing. And then
I thought if I was under the same roof, I could convince him how amazing I was while paying him to realize that.
So anyways, this was also kind of in that sequence. But then that man moved in with his boyfriends, bought a house and moved in with his boyfriends. So then Blair had to move back.
So we bring all that up to say this. Do you have any relationship advice? Because I'm a mess.
Are you still in that apartment?
Anyone. Bring him on in.
He's in the kitchen. I'm this close. It's been 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Blair, what a time.
Yeah, Blair is coming up on a one-year anniversary. So do you have any any relationship advice on how to keep it going, how to keep
the spark alive?
1 year's not that, you don't need to be keeping the spark alive that much.
Actually,
year,
this is the longest relationship I've ever had. So I'd like to last another year.
Well, I'm very proud of you. I understand. Before Andy, my longest relationship was 8 months. So I very much know that I'm like, wow, this is very impressive. So I think a year is impressive. I think the first thing you guys have to do is, you know, he's got to stop living in Jersey. So that's a real problem right there. And the fact that you've managed a year with Jersey, I mean.
Where in Jersey?
Deep.
Ooh, deep. Woodstown. It's basically.
It's basically Philadelphia. It's like 2 hours from New York.
Wow. Okay, this is, and I thought you and I, Harlem to Greenpoint was
yes.
bad.
Okay,
that's wow. Harlem to Greenpoint is bad. That actually might be worse.
Wait, how are you? You're going to Atlantic City, basically. What are you? You have no weight to stand on.
But they have really good diners there. So.
Fair. Okay, wait, what's his job? Does he have...
Andy, you can't ask all his business on recorded media.
What's his social security number, routing number?
So he works for the government.
But in the depths of Jersey? Does he have to be in the depths of Jersey?
Wait, is he undercover with the mafia?
Quite honestly, then maybe the distance is good for you because you do need plausible deniability, okay? Because when the cops come knocking, you have got to be the spouse who's like, he was always there for me and the kids, you know? And so maybe the distance is actually working in your favor. You've made it a year with this distance. Keep doing what you're doing, I guess, and try not to get resentful about stupid stuff. I say everything I'm feeling all the time, which on one hand is very tiring for Andrew. And for myself, even. But ultimately, they're not really, I don't really let resentments fester. You know what I mean? I think that's the key because we're talking 14 years, he and I. And I still like him. And I think it's really important that you just don't let little things stay because I think people don't think they can tell their partner. Like, I don't know. Part of the preciousness of our relationship is that it's not precious. Like, I'm so afraid to say something that it might all fall apart. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, part of what makes it good is be like, ooh, the way I love to complain. Blair, Sterling, I love to complain. Mm-hmm. And I just be complaining all the time to this man. But it honestly makes everything so much better. Don't you think, Andrew?
Define better.
amazing.
Okay. He still didn't answer it.
He didn't answer it. But that's okay. That's okay. Let him have his silence, and I said what I said.
No, no,
and
no.
That's she's symbiotic.
Yeah, communication.
Okay.
Okay.
You don't have to say every single thing that's on your mind. But she is right. I think one of the reasons why we have lasted so long is that we do not let resentments fester. You can let them fester a little bit. You got a couple months.
No,
grace
not even a couple months. There's nothing I hate more than when Andy will bring up some shit and I'll be like, how long you been thinking about this shit?
Can you give us an example?
Well, it'll be like, but it's funny because this is what I read. Like, it'll happen in the moment, right? So meaning, so for instance, what Andy will sometimes do when he want to tell me about myself, he'll take a tone and he'll go, hun, can I talk to you for a second? And I'm immediately like, stomach in knots. I'm packing a bag. I said, this is the end, right?
I'm holding because, up like, a report card.
Exactly. And then he'll be like, you know, I've asked you not to leave your clothes on the back of the chairs, and you keep doing it. And what I feel, what I hear in that moment is that he has been just holding on and keeping a list of all the times the items were on the chairs, mm-hmm. as opposed to just seeing the item on a chair and just throw it in the back then. I don't want you keeping a list
but
and then coming to me.
I do do that.
And that's great. You take it and you throw it in the back. I go, okay, yeah, it was on the chair. I even said in our wedding vows, I would try not to leave my clothes on the back of the chairs. And you know what? I cannot manage to do it for more than 2 days.
Well, when you say your clothes are on the back of the chair, like what kind of clothes? Is it like...
Yeah, what kind of clothes? Like a jacket?
Oh, full on. Literally anything.
Oh, full on sometimes brassiere.
Anything a human being would have on themselves to cover their modesty.
This is where you can be free. This is where you can be you. Uh-huh. So I come through this door and I go, and then I put it over the chair. And this is like a central location. You're going to the bedroom on one side, the living room on the other. I said, I'll be back. I'll grab it later.
But just imagine, eventually, that grows. And eventually, there's a critical mass of clothes, and it does become sentient. And then I have to deal with this creature now that we already have two pets that we have to give pills every day, 10 times a day. And now I have this new sentient clothes creature I have to deal with.
Well, to defend Naomi, you know, sometimes when you're in a hurry.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, I got to get to work. I just woke up. I don't have time to go to my closet because that's going to be on my hard left. I need to make a straight line for the door. You can grab your bra and your jeans and you're good to go.
So thank you.
It's about convenience. So right.
Thank
I get that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've never felt so seen.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Okay, so we play a game on this podcast called Heaven or Hell. We're going to be presenting some scenarios for you, and you're going to be deeming these heaven, hell, or if you're kind of ambivalent, purgatory. So because you host couples therapy, these are going to be different scenarios about couples, other couples.
Okay, but wait, here's the question. Do we have to reach an answer together, or can
no,
we have
totally
two different,
different
answers?
It can totally be different. Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Great.
And this will be a fun test of your relationship to see if you're on the same page.
Yeah. We absolutely won't be. We won't be.
Now, okay. The Pope has said purgatory doesn't exist anymore. And I'm a papist at heart.
At heart.
So I don't know if I can choose that as an option, but I'll try.
Okay, Blair, do you want to kick this off?
Your friend telling you about a fight with her significant other and asking you, do you think we should break up? Be honest.
And you know both the people in the couple well.
Okay, oh. That does clear. Okay, wow. That's a real.
I have an answer.
Go ahead.
I'm locked in.
Locked in. Go ahead.
Do you want to lock in your answer first?
I'm locked in. Do you want to do a count of three?
Three, two, one.
Hell.
Yeah.
That's actual hell.
That
How
is
dare
actual
you?
Hell.
How dare you come to me with such a question?
Oh, I will tell you exactly. A friend of mine, I have been silent about his relationship for forever.
Yeah.
Say and his then, name.
And then recently he asked me my opinion. I go, are you sure you want my opinion? And he goes, yes. And I go, that doesn't sound good. And he was furious.
Do not ask questions you don't want the answer to. That is like another thing too. Do not, in general, of anybody. How dare you, especially if you know both people. Now, again, as I said to you, see above, re love to burn it down.
Yeah.
I don't know the other person. Drop him. Drop them like a bad habit, right? But if I know you both, and like, in which case I could see kind of both sides, and I've had this in situations less with romantic relationships, but friendships, right? Where someone's like, what do you think of what she did? And it's like, the thing is, I heard from her side what you did. You know what I mean? So it's like on both sides, you'll be like, y'all both trash in different ways.
You triangulated the whole
relationship. It's like, okay, you're trash, you're recycling. And the problem is, y'all shouldn't be in the same basket.
Yeah, and I think the scary thing is I feel like I've been in a couple scenarios now I've really learned is that like you sometimes are like, oh, they're on their way out. I'm just helping, just encouraging. And then they leave. And then they come back to that person. And then you have to be in the room and everyone kind of knows I was a friend that was encouraging.
Exactly.
And then you kind of have to be like, let's all forget about that.
But also, too, if you hate both people, it's a great way to get them out of your life.
That's true. And I was going to say, Blair, you strike me as somebody who would do that. There's something about the energy I'm getting from you where you're just like, I've actually hated you both for years.
Right.
And you would say that and it would just be like casual. And then you would just like, go get a bagel.
Yes. It's kindling for you.
I love that. I wish I could be that forthright. I'm more like, no, you guys are great.
In your upper register. You're like, great.
Oh, wonderful.
But I still will get that bagel.
Okay, good.
I say write down your feelings in your will. And so then you're gone. And then
everyone knows.
The executor has to read them out.
Oh, that's good.
Kind of love that.
That's really good.
Okay, next one. A couple telling their single friend, OMG, can we swipe on your dating app? It's so fun for us.
Okay, actually.
Yes, wait. Three, two, one.
Heaven. That's literally something we love to
That's
do.
Super fun.
Are you kidding me?
That's super
fun. That's like literally one of our favorite activities. And I know you thought it was going to be hell. But I'm going to tell you, no, that is good. And you need to, I will do that for anybody.
Because we got together before dating apps were really a thing. So we never either ever got to use them. So
do
it's
you remember
fun.
We saw each other on Match.com?
No. OkCupid.
OkCupid.
No,
that's
you
what it
saw.
Was.
No. Hold on. You no, saw me. You yes, saw me true. On OkCupid. And because everything I had written about was about improv, because this was after I moved to New York to finally do comedy.
It was like, you know how it was like the prompts, right? It was like, on a typical Friday night, I'm blank. And his was like, doing improv. And I said, no, thank you.
So the truth is, I did not see you. You saw me and was like, fuck no. And then we met in real life.
Yeah, and I didn't know when I met him in real life that he was the OkCupid face. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remembered on the flip side, I was like, oh, that was him. But it was so funny because I think it said we were like 79% compatible or 81%. And
that's
I was like,
fair.
Pretty
that's
accurate, quite honestly. Yeah. It's like a pretty decent person. I was like, yeah, solid.
Did you wind up doing Friday Night Improv with him?
Hell no.
Well, we met at UCB.
We met at UCB. That's true. But like, there were definitely some shows I went to. There were some first 2 years of relationship shows I went to. That I should have had the strength not to attend.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay? I should have said, go do that on your own time. I'll see you later. But I didn't.
Sure. I wasn't good at improv until about 3 years in. That's fair.
Okay. Number three. Going to dinner with your friends, and when you arrive, realizing they each brought their significant others.
Actual
hold
hell.
Hold on. Yeah. Wait. Can we just start? Let's do these in two parts. Going to dinner with your friends.
That's a heaven.
I was going to say purgatory sometimes.
Okay.
depending on how we feel.
And then finding out the actual hell. It's like funny how you're picking these things that are just right out of my life because you know that like I have a whole thing in stand-up. Like I have a new stand-up bit about how there's nothing I hate more. It's like, don't bring your boo to brunch. You need to leave that bitch at home.
Yes.
If you bring them, don't make me talk to them.
We had a rule at our wedding. No one we've never met before. So like we didn't. invite, if you have a significant other we never met, they were not invited.
I was like, you come. And if you can't come to an event without somebody, you need to get right with your God. Okay.
But we made sure there was enough, like, if we didn't invite your significant other, there were people you knew there.
Oh yeah, no one was like low. No one was alone. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, we had tables, clusters of groups and friends.
We
put a lot of thought into making sure people had a lovely thought into evening. This.
We curated an experience for these people.
I've had a few. It actually wasn't a significant other, but I have a dear friend, lover. But every time we would go out to dinner when I moved to Los Angeles, I'd say, see you soon. And then she'd be like, we're parking. And I'm like, we're parking.
And you said, who?
I said,
we.
Who? And then she would always kind of bring this other person she was very close to, but I had never met them. And I was like, wait, what's going on? And then I just then got used to it. I'm like, I think she's always going to be bringing this person.
You never asked anything?
I never asked. I didn't think we were just starting our friendship again, because I went to school here, moved to New York for 6 years, and then came back. So I don't know. We were on, I didn't feel so solid with her. That's like, oh, I thought it was one-on-one.
This is what you need to unpack, because perhaps she's not, because it sounds like she needed a buffer friend there, because she was I don't know what's going to happen.
I know.
But I would think that after the first gather, because again, as you said, if you haven't seen somebody in years, and they're like, come with me in case this is weird, even though I still don't know what that's about. I'd rather come solo and then be like, I got to go poop, and then just like leave after 30 minutes.
Did you leave LA because of like a gun charge and they were worried that you would have a gun?
That's the question.
You are a former improv artist and you have been trained to expect the unexpected and roll with it. Yes, and if you will.
Wow. Okay.
So it's the universe testing you, saying, hey, maybe you should get back into improv.
Yeah. That is a test. Yeah, I think I failed.
You
want to
do a scene right now?
Andrew, stop trying to make us do improv.
Blair, can we get a suggestion?
Banana.
What is it? What was it always? It was like pineapple. There was like always like one specific fruit or something.
It was always fruit or something like that.
It's so random.
Like any food?
Okay. A couple getting married and in their vows saying, our relationship hasn't always been easy. We've had our highs, but we've also had our lows. Kind of like really digging into that they've had hard times.
Do you want to do it at the same time?
Sure.
3, 2, 1.
Heaven.
Okay.
Wow.
This is where we differ.
Okay.
I don't like to watch conflict. I don't want to see awkward moments. When there have been times we've been at weddings where I've a bridesmaid or a best man's speech has gone awry, and I just like shrink. Yeah, I just curl up like a dead cockroach, and I'm just like, please, I don't want this. I want this to be over. I do not want. If they were gonna get real about it, then that's fine. I would call that heaven.
I don't even think you would like it if it was real. Because if it's real, it's gonna be calling someone out. You're gonna be like, no, not here. And for me, that's heaven. That's fun. That keeps things fresh. That keeps you on your toes. It's a real snap and be present. You never know what can happen. And there's nothing better to me than like, especially in a moment where you're supposed to be happy, still not being able to let go of a resentment. Like your wedding vows and you still are like, and we've been through some shit. It's like, really? Even today, you got to bring up the shit? Oh yeah, I give it 10 years max. Like that's fun.
Oh, that's being generous.
I know, 10 years is being generous, but you know, sometimes, you know, depending on how codey people are.
Okay, last one. Having a couple over for dinner, and as the guy goes to the bathroom, his girlfriend says, babe, don't forget to wash your hands.
Oh. Oh God.
Oh my God, the chill that just went down my spine.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of something worse than hell. And I would just say like is there like just death? Like just nothingness?
Has that ever happened to either of you?
That hasn't, but I feel like sometimes there can be dynamics in a relationship that are kind of parent kid a little bit sometimes. Don't you think?
I feel like we've weeded a lot of those people out of our lives.
Yeah, I guess. I'm like, I guess we have. I was like, I don't think I know that dynamic as well in general. Like, I feel like, but I do know it exists. Do you know what I mean? Like, I fully get that. But I think, too, a lot of that dynamic, too, can be born out of a real cishet. Aren't men dirty idiots?
Yeah, I love them.
It's like a real 90s sitcom energy. Yes.
Kevin James.
It's giving Kevin James.
Well, yeah. Well, Kevin James is one that's coming over for dinner.
And then Leo Remini goes, wash your hands, babe.
Yeah.
I don't think I would want to be friends with someone that does not know to wash their hands, period.
Yeah, it's like, but also like a partner. Like, I would also imagine if my partner said that to me, I would want to throttle them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that would also be so embarrassing. Yeah. I'd be like, oh my God.
Mom, I mean, Diane.
That's so Diane, quite honestly.
No, we don't have Diane over anymore.
Invite Diane.
Well, that was our game. You both did amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank
no
you.
Prize.
No prize. What is this, naked and afraid?
Yeah, truly.
Fear is its own prize.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So we've come to the portion of the podcast where we think you might have a story where it's hard to tell who was in the right or what was in the right or wrong that Blair and I are going to help decide. So whenever you're ready, we can launch on in.
Sure. Now, okay, here's the thing. So I'm going to pull up my phone because I documented this entire story.
Oh, good, good, good. So we've got facts, dates, times. Yeah. We got a timeline.
Oh, wow. This is, yes, 6th of January 4th. 2020.
Remember?
Whoa. Okay. Yes. An iconic day. Okay.
Yes. All right. Months before something happened that would change the face of the earth for at least a decade.
And we're coming back from Christmas, like holiday break, basically. We're coming back from
New York. Right. So I want to just like preface this.
Okay.
I need to preface this that Naomi and I are very, you know, straight A kid energy. Okay. We don't dabble in the morally gray. I've done bad things. I once ghosted a girl. That was not good. I think that is a bad thing that I have done.
He once stole a ski ball from Bolarama.
I did steal a ski ball.
I hear the police coming. I don't know if you hear it in the background.
I hear the sirens. You're like a bank teller. You press the button when you hear something you don't like.
But that's just Los Angeles. So I think this story is more about us versus the world, and I think we are closer to right than wrong in this, but this is for you to judge.
And also, if we had to, I don't want to divide us, but I could really call out your behavior.
Feel free to. I'm saying this.
Okay, so do you want to tell it?
I think my behavior is more just stupid than it is.
Yeah, sure. But that could be its own bad. Do you want to do one at a time? Like, you'll read the first one, obviously.
Well, I wasn't even going to read. I was just going to have this here as a general
reference
guide.
Point? Okay. Yes.
So JetBlue Flight 359.
This is JFK to Burbank.
JFK to Burbank
is for when you don't want a fancy plane, but you want to get there and be home in 15 minutes. Do you know what I mean? Like, what I wanted, when I'm coming back, I just want to get home fast. I don't want to deal with, like, the LAX of it all.
Uh-huh.
Yes. For the listener, if you live on the east side of Los Angeles and you fly into LAX, you've got another, I would say, 6 to 12 hours of travel after you land.
And it's like, who wants to deal with that? Whereas you fly to Burbank, it's like half an airport. It's giving northern exposure. It's giving two rinky-dink hangers, and you're home in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, this is, I think, the first time we've come back to New York with our dog, Mabel, fresh out of the pound.
Yeah, we got her in August of 2019. So now we're here in January 2020. So it's like our first trip with her, getting her there. We're like, how do we travel with the dog, the long flight, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so we had brought wee-wee pads for her. Okay, we let her pee before we got on the plane. Bring these wee-wee pads. Now it's close to the end. I think we're about like half an hour before we land.
Yeah, maybe an hour.
Like
maybe an hour, because you wouldn't have been allowed to get up if it had been half.
Okay. And so I take Mabel with a wee-wee pad to the bathroom. Now, to also to set this up, on the flight to New York, something had happened with my ears, and they had been clogged for the entire trip, and I had trouble hearing.
Okay.
And I was just excited to get back to Los Angeles to finally go to the doctor and figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
You can't go out of network, folks. You can't go out of network.
So you gotta
in
just
the
wait.
21st century.
Yeah, you just got to be deaf for 3 weeks.
You got to be deaf for three
partially deaf for 3 weeks. Okay. And so Andy takes her into the bathroom because she's whimpering, she's whining, and this is why we have to tell you we've only had her for a little bit, right? Because we don't quite know yet her ins and outs, right? At this point, it's been 4 or 5 months, and I'm like, does she have to go, or is she just like wanting to walk and bored from being on a plane, but we don't know. So anyway, why we're in that situation.
Okay. Wee pad, Mabel. I we're in like one of the front rows. Okay. Walk to the front with the bathroom and open the door, and immediately a stench like out of a swamp or a latrine.
Yeah, it stinks.
Yes. I'm trying to add some color to this story.
We still have so many colors to paint. We have to paint with all the colors of the wind, boo. We're only in beat one. All
right, so the pea green. I just used some pea green. And then I look down, if I'm getting this right? And there is shit all over.
Wet poos.
On the floor.
Do not like that phrase.
That's how I paint a picture. Two words. Very
everywhere.
Clear.
And so the door's not shut yet. I turn around to look at Naomi, and she's like waving at me like this.
Because there are people like down this lady's like, close the door, it stinks. Like a woman.
But
like,
because I can't hear, I could not hear this woman yelling.
Wow. Okay.
So I get up to see, like, I'm like, why is the door open? Like, what, you know what I mean? I'm like, because I know he's not using the bathroom with an open door or using the, so I was like, something's happened. So I come up to see what's going on. I see poop all over the floor. And I was like, was that Mabel? Even though the dog is still like in his arm. Like the dog is fully not.
I'm still holding her like
a
football.
I was like, and he was like, no, it was like this when I got in here. And so I'm like, okay. So like, but now, Blair Payton. Imagine you're on JetBlue flight 359.
Imagine you're a passenger.
You're a passenger. Okay. Okay.
You've just seen a man with a dog and a wee-wee pad walk forward to the bathroom.
Someone in the back yells, close the door, it stinks.
Sure.
If you're close enough, you smell it.
Yep.
And now you've seen that person's partner walk up
to the door. You're seeing gesturing. You're seeing whatever. I'm like, what is happening? And now there's shit all over the ground.
And now you look down and you see it's not just in the bathroom. It's also leading
into the bathroom. As though like someone missed the toilet maybe and got it on their feet. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because you're seeing it kind of around almost like.
Or like Hansel and Gretel had diarrhea and were leaving a trail.
It was liquidy. It was upsetting. And so, but now everyone thinks that it was us. And so Andy's like, what should I do? Like, he's like.
I grabbed a flight attendant. Like, I didn't grab. I didn't like shake her by the shoulders and was like, we didn't do this. It wasn't like that. But I'm just like, hey, this wasn't us. This was here when I got here. And she just kind of like looked at me like, sure.
Right. No
like,
one believes
no
us.
No one believed
and
us.
This is where like I get it. Because like Andrew, because here's my thing. When I walk into any kind of public restroom or really any space that's not my own home, uh-huh. I'm going to open the door and I'm going to glance at the setting before entering my body in there. Because I think, you know, and I would have made a show. Like, that's the thing. I would have made a show. I would have been standing there. I would have opened it. I would have seen it.
And yelled,
I would have yelled, oh my goodness. Whereas Andrew,
who did this?
I was like, Andy, how did you walk inside here? How did you enter your feet inside here? And he's like, I didn't notice.
I'm off in my own little world a lot of
times. He's half deaf and he's in his head. Okay? And I just was like, and so this is where I was like, I'm mad at your ass, because if you hadn't walked in there, we would have had some plausible deniability.
Sure.
But now they all think we did this.
That's
shit.
Fair.
No, we,
that's
they all think fair. We did this. And I'm like, how do you not see this? Because I literally step up and I go, the fuck?
Also, that's way too much feces for a dog.
It was, the ratio you would have known. Our dog is 10 pounds.
Okay.
She is petite. Yeah. So,
even if
saw,
I like squoze her out like a towel, you would not get that much feces.
And it was like terrible. But then the flight attendants are now these poor women. You know what I'm saying? We know we now know flight attendants don't make a damn dime.
Yes. And I offered, I'm like, do you want me to clean this up? And she just looked at me disgusted and said, no. And like, kind of.
So they think that we did it. And like everyone, and it was just like, okay, this is the hell on earth, 359. We're like, okay, we just wait and get off the plane. The dog also didn't have to go to the bathroom, by the way. She just wanted to freaking, get out of sitting in one spot. And so we get out, we leave the flight. We like are going away for our suitcases, and this black man.
Yes,
this man.
This is at what is it called? The
airport.
Not Bob Barker. What is the name of the airport?
Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
Isn't it Bob Hope?
Sorry, I could not remember.
You had to remember
a comedian
your Bobs
from 80 years ago.
Yep.
The Bob Hope Airport. So most of it's outside.
Yeah.
So we're outside waiting.
Right, to get our luggage. Yes. And then a guy comes up, and it's this black dude, and he says, and like after they had like, I forget what, but he basically, he's like, my daughter got your dog shit on her coat, or like her shirt, or something like that. And as he says it, like as he's walking by, and it was like, first of all, and like literally as he like, he doesn't want to stay to talk. He just wants to be an asshole and keep walking.
Yeah.
But then afterwards I go,
I said this. I go, that wasn't our dog.
And then but then I also realized when he said that, I go, that doesn't even make any sense because his daughter had gone in that bathroom prior to us. So how
was that? The timeline's off.
So I start screaming, that don't match the timeline. That don't match the timeline. As this man is like walking away to exit. Because I was like, did your daughter poop on the floor?
Yeah.
Like, we have two culprits. Either his daughter had an accident or there was an elderly gentleman.
We think it's this elderly gentleman that did it. I don't want to blow up his spot. I won't name him.
Yeah.
He looked like the Six Flags old man.
Yeah. And he did the dance, which is why we think that the feces got flung everywhere. But we have a cork board that has the timeline on it.
Because I said, I'm sorry. What are you talking about? Because she was in there before we were, which means she saw poop and didn't say something or she did it. Yes. Okay? And I just felt like too many people, because I'm like, that old man could have got sympathy if he had just said, I'm elderly and had an accident. But he didn't want to do that shit.
Instead, he framed Mabel.
He framed us and the dog. And that whole flight. And then I vaguely remember too, as we were waiting outside for our luggage, some woman came up to me who like recognized me from comedy or something. She had been on the flight. And I remember just being like, this is not the time for me to have be recognized. And then I had to tell her the whole story because she was in the back of the plane. Like really the front half of the plane is the part that thinks that we're garbage people.
Right.
But the back half doesn't know what happened.
No. They got the story through like everyone's whispering.
They got the story through the grapevine. 3:59. That whole flight hates us. They think that and I just feel like, you know, it's something I can't even think about sometimes, but that's us against the world.
Yeah. Can I just ask a probing question here?
Sure, please.
Sure, Blair. Go ahead.
When you got on the flight.
Yes.
How were you treating the staff that worked there?
I drop kicked the pilot in the neck.
I am always kind. Okay. And I don't say that to be like, I'm so great as much as I'm like, my whole thing is I feel like everybody is struggling in this life. Uh-huh. And if you work in customer service, everyone treats you like garbage.
Yeah.
So I make a concerted effort to not be garbage, which is why I hated that we were the ones who had to ask this woman to clean this stuff up. Do you know what I mean? Like, because Andy goes, should I clean it? And I go, don't touch somebody else's shit. Like,
I want to offer, look, two things. You don't have to have, this is like when someone is like, oh, I'm not a misogynist because I got a daughter. Like one of those things. But I've worked plenty. I've worked in supermarkets. I've worked in off-track betting places. I know what it's like to be on the other side of stuff. But also, I'm not a piece of shit, so I don't treat people badly unless they're assholes.
My second question
is,
because you said you were really wanting to get home, like really quickly. And you know, like sometimes like you don't mean to be mean, but sometimes it just something squeaks out, maybe a look that you're not thinking about. The only reason I bring this up, because maybe it was a conspiracy to frame you guys.
Oh.
I see what you're saying. I mean,
but I wouldn't put it on our behavior then. I would say it goes back probably decades.
Okay. So it's been a long con is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Have you felt, obviously this was a few years ago at this point. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have you felt comfortable going back to Burbank Airport and or flying on JetBlue? Like did you face any consequences for these actions of like just discomfort?
You know, I think that's funny because we did end up doing a couple more flights because there's a time where I was especially going to New York a lot when I moved, like pretty much up until COVID hit. I was going to New York almost every 6 weeks, you know, and I do like shows for a week and like kind of whatever. But I think now, was this before or after the next time I was on this very same flight?
Was for your Netflix special.
No. I'm talking specifically the JetBlue 359 JFK to Burbank. Now, the next time I was on that damn flight, there was a fight that broke out between this couple where she said he kicked her. And then you find out over the course of this whole time, it wasn't just a man next to her. First it was, oh, we're friends. Oh, no, that's my ex-husband. Oh, no, we still married, but we're not together. And it was a whole thing. And when we landed, the police were called. Yes, the thing with the boot. He stole my boot. That's what it was. He stole my boot. But that's because she had kicked him.
Naomi's a witness. Naomi is, this is basically, this couple is basically Mabel and us.
Because my,
and Naomi is the person saying, shut the door, it stinks.
But this is the thing, is this is when you ask my question, though, any consequences. What I have decided as a result of both the poop incident and the boot incident is that JetBlue Flight 359, JFK to Burbank, is cursed. Okay.
Yes. Mm. Consequence free. Also, it is just a mirror of America.
Yes.
There
worst
are no
the worst.
Consequences.
It's the worst
for
of the worst. If you're taking the Burbank flight,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you got nothing to lose. You live on the edge. You ain't trying to be fancy.
It's the Chris D'Elia flights, right?
What? You're true.
You're disgusting.
You stop trying to create clickbait.
The plane is.
No, it's fine. Keep going. If you could look shocked real quick, so we have a nice screened image.
Yeah. Is that good acting? Did you know I took improv classes?
Okay, so this flight has been cursed. So have
That's what I believe.
Are you still doing this flight to this
no.
day?
No. No, I have not. No, now I put up with LAX.
No, Naomi will only do a private jet from now on.
I think we found the morally gray area then. Okay, so now you're doing LAX. I've been in LA now almost 2 years. I've driven a lot of friends to Burbank. I haven't done that flight. But okay, this is good to know. Okay, so maybe that flight is cursed. This is interesting.
So after the poop incident, mm-hmm. how many times would you say you took that flight? Was the boot the last time, the second time?
Yeah.
And that was a year and a half later for the Netflix thing.
No, the boot wasn't during Netflix.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Because you didn't fly then for... Then COVID hit, and then...
I know, but remember,
we didn't leave
again
our house.
In March. I came back to New York March 5th. I mean, came back to LA for March 5th, 2020.
Oh, that's right. Right before.
So that was my last instance, and I hadn't taken it. And then the last times that I've flown since then, it has been LAX. Back into LAX, out of LAX. I said I can't deal with Burbank because it's lawless.
Okay, because you were saying you were having trouble hearing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was your sense of smell also affected?
Thank you. That's a very
good
question.
Was this a connected... Was your head just in a bad place?
Right. Was the whole thing stuffed up?
Okay.
Was it falling apart?
Was it falling off?
I believe that my body creates defenses for myself.
Sure.
To protect me because... Okay. Back in high school...
Also, third question, vision too. I just want to know, is everything... I also forgot about the eyes. That's huge.
Yep. That's a very good question, Blair.
Look, I'm gonna stick with the olfactory part.
Right.
Okay? Back in high school, my sister dated this guy who stunk to high heaven. Okay? I could never smell him. And everyone else could. Okay, my girlfriend at the time was like, get him out of here. This guy, you could see visible stink lines. I could see the stink lines coming off of him like he was a hot pie on a
cartoon.
But I could not smell him. And I believe that my body protected me from that. I believe that in the presence of intense smells, I don't know if it's like... you know, a robot, like the doors of my nostrils, like close, or what is going on?
Have you been checked out for this medical condition at any point in your life?
Yeah, your scent, your inability to smell just heaps of shit.
Scent, vision, hearing.
This is my own personal theory that I'm a medical.
So that's a no.
That the answer is no, Blair. Thank you. You have to sometimes extrapolate.
Getting dissected by the government. All right, I'm not letting your boyfriend dissect me, Blair. I'm not letting your boyfriend dissect me.
Just avoid Jersey. You're fine.
Okay, so Naomi, you said you. When you enter rooms, you kind of take in the scene.
Of course.
Andy, it seems like obviously you did not take in this scene when you entered it.
No.
This is in 2020. Do you feel like you have learned from this instance and are now taking in more scenes? Or are you finding yourself kind of in this predicament? Maybe not this exact situation, obviously, but in many a room in which you should have kind of gazed before.
God damn it. No. Okay, look. No, I have not... I've not learned my lesson. I try to be more present. But like, we just went to a party last week. Okay.
Cool.
And to get into their backyard, we had to go through their house. And when the host opened the door, I was more concentrating on like what to say to them and how than I was in like taking the scene in.
Uh-huh.
So if there was shit on the ground, I did not know.
He wouldn't have known. He wouldn't have known.
Now they wouldn't. It was an immaculate house, I think. I believe.
I mean, was stunning.
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 But I think it's more like whatever the scenario is I'm dealing with, whether it is trying to get my dog to go to the bathroom on a wee-wee pad or talking to the host of a party and trying to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's taking up 98% of my brain's power. Okay. And so I only have 2% left to look for feces. Okay.
This is why I walk in first.
Naomi, have you been aware of this, or is this the first you're hearing of this disorder he has?
No, I know this about him. And, you know, I call Andy for years. I call him a manic pixie dream boy. Okay. He's a little bit in his head. He's in another world, like kind of always. And in some ways, it does help with the relationship. As I said, you know, I love to complain. Half the time, Andy don't even hear me talking. And that's, you know what, probably why we lasted so long. Because he's like, what'd you say? And it's like, I've been on a whole tirade. And that's beautiful. Sometimes it's beautiful.
Well, this whole scenario is very interesting. I think in some ways, it's like, obviously, there's some time that has passed. And I guess my big question is, like, has Andy learned from this mistake of, you know, entering rooms, maybe not taking it in, right?
I have not.
But in some ways, they have. We're not kind of taking that cursed flight anymore. So there's some things that have been adjusted. Now, I think what I'm going back to on the podcast is kind of talking about relationships and how relationships last. And what I'm kind of, I think, getting from this story is that you both are bringing two different skill sets, you know, always into a scenario. And I think, like, you know, Andy is going into a situation kind of like, we got to get maybe some certain things done. I'm not even taking in because I got to get this dog to pee. I need to remember how to greet this host, you know?
To remember how to greet this host. Exactly.
You were able to both, even though it's a bad scenario, like, persevere. You're able to defend yourselves and kind of, like, as best you can, talk to the flight attendant to be like, we'll even fix this error we didn't even make. So I think in some ways, I'm like, it just kind of demonstrates how well your relationship can work because you're both bringing two different skill sets to the table and you have learned maybe not to take that flight anymore. But I don't know. I think I'm leaning good. I think I'm leaning good, Blair.
Oh. Okay. I'm going the opposite.
I knew it.
I think the relationship you have is beautiful. I'd like to preface.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But.
Okay.
The turd.
So you knew, Naomi, that his head doesn't work a lot of the time. And you were on the flight and he was going to the bathroom. And, well, first, okay, hold on. As I'm talking, I'm realizing what I'm saying doesn't totally make sense.
Great.
Yeah.
Hey, but that's good to acknowledge. That is good to
acknowledge.
Thank you.
Yeah,
to stop and then reset.
Thank you. So I'm going to backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
So maybe it is good. Oh my God, maybe I'm having an aha moment. You know what? After realizing what I was starting to say was sounding stupid, I realized, no, there is love here. And you know what? You went up there and you're like, yeah. Even though his head wasn't working, he was still, like, grabbing the flight attendant and was shaking her down and saying, I'm sorry. This isn't who I am. None of my senses are working. And you were, like, you were defending, you know, when that guy walked by. You're like, no! It was your dumb daughter.
Yeah, it doesn't match the timeline. That's what
it doesn't
I
match the timeline.
That don't match the timeline. As loud as you could yell it across an open area.
Like Sterling said, there... Oh boy. Love
is clearly visible between you two.
Wow.
And damn it, that is good behavior.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Would you guys say love is love is love?
Love is love.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you both have been officially deemed good behavior.
Hey, so do we get stickers?
This is like all we want. Yeah. This is all we want.
Now, obviously, getting an award this big, it kind of can be a little nerve-wracking coming up, like an acceptance speech right on the spot. So we do have a little thing that we've written for you today that we'll have you read aloud as your acceptance speech.
Wow, we're in complete shock. This award really means the world to us.
We moved to Los Angeles to win awards. Mm-hmm. And we've won many, but there's been one that we've been chasing for years. And that's this award.
We've been letting cars turn left, picking up after our dog, and graciously tipping on our $8 coffees.
In hopes that one day we could come on this podcast and you guys could see just how good we are and reward us.
Ugh. Guys, wow. Amazing. What a load that has been lifted. And also, sounds like that was dropped.
Still got it, Blair. Still got it after all these years.
Thank you. Improv. It's really paying off. How do you guys feel?
I mean, I feel good. I mean, I'll say this. I was resistant. Yeah. You know, I didn't want to leave my bed. I didn't want to get up. I am not wearing a brassiere because that's where my energy's at. And you guys really lifted me up. So I just want to thank you both.
Well, thank you both so much for coming on today. Before we wrap up, can you tell listeners where to follow you? Any upcoming shows or anything specifically to plug?
Oh, sure. Well, let's see here. You can find Naomi at Black Juice Comedy on Instagram and at me at... Andy Beckerman on Instagram. Couples Therapy is Couples Therapy, right?
Couples Therapy Pod
on Instagram. And of course, you can find Couples Therapy wherever you get your podcast from.
Yep.
On it, we talk to comedians and actors that we like about relationships and therapy, and then answer listener advice questions, as you had mentioned earlier.
Yeah, that's about it. I don't know what else to say. I'm out here doing my best. You can watch Mythic Quest on Apple TV. You can watch my Netflix half hour on season 3 of the stand-ups. You can watch my 5-minute set on That's My Time with David Letterman, also on Netflix.
Oh, you got this down, Naomi.
Well, I just stopped. I just went blank as soon as I done it. And then I said, that's enough. I don't want to give somebody too much to do. Do you know what I mean?
See her in me time.
Like, no, That's too much.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye.
Do you think that was good?
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Pro savings days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.